Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me say it's good to see all of you here this morning. I was worried that some of you might be gone as of 6 o'clock last night, taken up in the rapture, but I really wondered whether I should work on today's sermon if nobody was going to be here. I also need to extend an apology to all of those who receive the weekly email. If you tried to figure out the title of this morning's sermon, a word got added in one place and two words were left out, and the title really made no sense at all. And when I informed John Dietz of the nonsensical wording that I had submitted, he asked if he should send out a follow-up with the correct title. And the devil in me said, no, let them try to figure it out. Well, the title is correct in the bulletin this morning. Experiencing God and Jesus in Other Places Than Church. And I imagine the title says to you that our pastor is trying to justify his trip to Brazil and Peru and the fact that it is quite likely he will not be in a church sanctuary for the next 3 Sundays. Though that is not what brought me to the title of today's message, it will no doubt be true. Rather, at the session meeting last Monday night, session members voted on the next book for our church book study from a couple of suggestions that you made. And the book that we ended up agreeing on and has now been ordered and in fact has now come, and you can pick up your copy if you want to today, is Barbara Brown Taylor's An Altar in the World, in which the author shares how she learned to encounter God beyond the walls of any church. In this book, she reveals concrete ways to discover the sacred in the small things that we do, the small things that we see. And though I had never read either of the two books that she had written, I was familiar with Barbara Brown Taylor because I've heard her speak on a couple of occasions, and I've heard her preach once. In fact, Baylor University back in 1996 named Barbara one of the 12 most effective preachers in the English-speaking world. Well, I made the decision that I wanted to read for myself the earlier book that she wrote, Leaving Church, a memoir of Faith, before I plunged into the one that we will be reading together. In this earlier book that prompted this morning's message, let me say a word about Ms. Taylor. She was ordained an Episcopal priest back in 1985, having really wanted to be a priest for many years before it happened. And like most ordained women in those days, she served as an associate pastor, in fact served in that capacity for several years. She was one of 4 associate pastors in a congregation of close to 2,000 people in the center of Atlanta, Georgia, which she described as a city of never-ending human need. She worked under the supervision of an ordained man, and she writes of him, "He helped to shape my desire to be the priest in charge one day." She writes, "Does anyone ride in a car without wanting one day to steer it?" To which I would comment, at least Barbara wanted to steer. She writes, "I wanted to spend the rest of my life as close to God as I could get. And full-time parish ministry seemed to offer me the best chance at doing that. Well, after serving that large congregation with its very busy program that kept her on the run with hospital visits and home visits and running different programs for the church over a period of 10 years, she became drained, particularly spiritually drained, with little opportunity to give time to being refueled. She found that she was looking for a small historical parish, maybe in northern Georgia, which a church that would be willing to take some risks, particularly in having a female priest. Now, I think if she had been in New York City and been on the staff of one of our city's larger churches, in a city with enormous challenges, I'm sure she would have loved leaving the city and coming to a church like Old South Haven Presbyterian, or maybe more appropriately, our neighbor down the road, St. James Episcopal. She says that after she and her husband Ed, a mechanical engineer with a farmer's heart, that's using Barbara's description of her husband, that both of them wanted to leave the busy city of Atlanta and the bigness of that large urban church. She visited a church called Grace Calvary Episcopal Church in Clarksville, Georgia. Population of Clarksville, 1,500. She says it was love at first sight. And after a lengthy courtship, remember the challenge that this church had of calling its first female priest, she discovered that the church she wanted also wanted her. She writes that to stand in the presence of that church building was to rest. What's your experience here? The building was a white frame chapel with huge clear glass windows and green shutters. Well, if you're looking for the green shutters, you have to come up to the manse. The church sitting in an old grove of white pines with a historical marker indicating that the church was organized December 12, 1838, for three families, and quote, many coastal families who summered in Clarksville. When the church was consecrated in 1842, the bishop declared it, and I quote, a very neat wooden building with tower and bell, prettily located, and an ornament in the village. I describe this building and the response of people in it because I feel much the same could be said about Old South Haven Presbyterian. How often I have heard from people in our community when I tell them that I serve as a pastor and serving a church that's located right across from Belport High School, the response is, oh, that's that beautiful little white building with the fish on top. Yes, for many, an ornament here in Brookhaven. But I want them to see this church not as an ornament that looks pretty, but as an alive, functioning instrument serving its congregation and serving the larger community. And I hope that, having said that, you would feel, at least inwardly, that you would want to say amen. Taylor writes, this was a church that I could get my arms around, a church in which I could see every face and know every name. And I could say the same for myself concerning this congregation. Well, Barbara and Ed rented a house in the area, and 6 months later, they started looking for a house that they could buy, which met the desires of both of them. Barbara writes, "Some people spend years of their lives searching for the person whom they were born to love. I spent close to 2 years searching for the land where I was meant to live." After scores of failed blind dates, I decided to marry what she describes as a heavenly piece of land with rolling pastures and three fast-running streams that was almost 20 miles from town. She says, "I know plenty of people who find God most reliably in books." She probably was referring to me. Whenever I go away someplace and take a vacation, I always take books along to read. That's my encounter with God. Or in buildings and even in other people. She says, "I have found God in all of these places, but the most reliable meeting place for me has always been creation." Her book, I should say, this first book, is a testimony to her experiencing God through the whole created order and feeling closest to God when she is surrounded by creation. Having found the piece of land she and Ed loved, they then set about putting up a building, a lovely home on it. That said to the parish that she was serving that she was probably going to be around for a while. And that certainly was Barbara's intention. Over the next several years, the congregation grew, needing to first move to three services and then to establishing a second congregation. Barbara serving as rector over this larger parish with two congregations. By all ways of measuring, it seemed a success story. But, writes Barbara, the demands of parish ministry, the routine patterns and demands of parish ministry, cut me off from the resources that enabled me to do parish ministry. I knew where God's fire was burning, but I could not get to it. By the time I got home every night, it was all I could do to simply pay the bills and then go to bed. My quest to serve God in the church had exhausted my spiritual savings. My dedication to being good, and she means being good at every task that emerged for her to do, had cost me a fortune in being whole. Well, you can guess where this is going. Reluctantly, she resigned from her position in the church to the dismay and, in some cases, anger of parishioners. Resigned in order to spend time replenishing herself, particularly placing herself in the midst of creation and learning to relax and take in the beauty and the nourishment she felt there. Looking out from the porch of her home and taking it all in. Well, yes, there's much more to Barbara Brown Taylor's story as she leaves full-time ministry serving a congregation and coming to encounter God beyond the walls of any church, to experience God more fully than in the demands of the church life in which she was involved. You may remember that a few years ago, I preached a sermon from this pulpit in which I expressed concern that maybe some of you find yourselves meeting more and more the demands of simply keeping the congregation going. A sermon that asked the question, and was the title of the sermon, is the church devouring or nourishing you? Barber came to question the conventional distinction between the sacred and the spiritual, discovering that almost everywhere we go, in nearly everything we do, God is to be found. Barbara has brought me that message. And so I'm going to share with you this morning that I'm not going to feel guilty if I am not in a church building somewhere these next three Sundays. I should feel guilty, however, if I do not let what I see of God's beautiful creation in both Brazil and Peru speak to me, though no words need to be heard. I should feel guilty if I do not acknowledge the presence of Jesus in those I encounter. I should feel guilty if in any way I try to make a distinction between the sacred and the secular. I should feel guilty if I close myself off from the new that can be experienced, often through sheer serendipity. For these encounters can, and I trust will, replenish my spiritual savings account. And my prayer for you is that though you may not be walking the same path I will be walking for the next 3 weeks, that whatever path you walk might do the same for you. Hear again the words we used as our call to worship this morning. We need not look up to find God. We need only look around within ourselves into the eyes of another. We need not listen for distant thunder to find God. We need only to listen to the music of life. We worship the God who inhabits our world and who indwells our lives. Amen. Let us bow together in prayer. Eternal God, to be found everywhere and even within, may we be open to that revelation. Amen.